I'd like you to pray with me now, please. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, let me just say, it's a wonder that my daughter is still alive. As toddlers, both of my children were voracious readers. That means that I read and they listened for what seemed like hours sometimes. One day, sweet little Vicky is crawled up in my lap and we're reading 101 Dalmatians for the 8,001th time. She was itty-bitty. She was hardly talking. She just had a few words, but you know, kids can communicate really well with just a few words, can't they? So we're having this lovely mother-daughter bonding time, and we turn to the page in the book where the evil Cruella de Vil is screaming at someone. Red-faced, eyes bulging, hair all wild. She has a wicked, twisted, pointing finger. And Vicky patted that page and said, "Mama." She pointed to Cruella de Vil and said, "Mama." Well, I knew she was confused. So I flipped back a few pages to that beautiful picture of the lovely, quiet, retiring, and kind wife, Anita. And I pointed to that picture and said, "Mama." But Vicky shook her head and flipped back to the banshee woman. We did this several times until I finally gave up, burned the book, and turned on Barney. That should tell you that I am not always the lovely, quiet, retiring, and kind person you occasionally glimpse on Sunday mornings. I know this surprises you. But things are not always as they seem. Dalmatians are not even always as they seem. In 1996, Disney re-released that movie, 101 Dalmatians, and people fell in love with Pongo and Prudy and all those pesky puppies. People bought their own little Dalmatians and brought them home, soon to find out that owning one wasn't as easy as it looked in the movies. Dalmatians can grow to weigh 70 pounds. They shed year-round. 1 in 10 is born deaf, and they are rambunctious and need lots of exercise. If they don't get enough exercise, they can be very destructive. Destructive as in digging a hole in your couch, or chewing through the drywall, or ripping the vinyl siding off your house. So, in 1997, the year after the Disney film was released, animal shelters all across the nation saw a huge increase in the number of Dalmatians received. In Florida, at one center, they received 130 Dalmatians the first 9 months of the year. That is more than they received the prior 2.5 years. You see, what looked good on the screen wasn't so fun at home, because things aren't always as they seem. Today, as a church, we honor and recognize our graduating seniors. They are a fine group of kids, and they are going to do so well in life. I am not worried about our future, because I know we have some really brilliant, talented, strong, kind, funny, God-loving people who are coming up to take care of the future and to take care of us. But one thing I want to say to them and to us today is that things are not always what they seem. In high school, everything is pretty ordered. We know the food chain in high school, right? We know who the bottom feeders are. We know who the predators are. We know who the kings and queens of the jungle are, right? And we know where we fit in. We know who's above us. We know who's below us. We know who's right there in it with us. We know the people we envy, never realizing that someone envies us. And sometimes we get to thinking that since we know how this food chain works at the school or at the office or in the neighborhood or at church, we think that since we know how this social hierarchy works there, that that's the way that life really is. But things are not always as they seem. Some of you have already figured out that even the most popular jock or the prettiest cheerleader sometimes cries themselves to sleep. And the most unpopular people, the ones we don't even think about or notice, they also have hopes and dreams and kind streaks and good insights. Go to your 20-year class reunion and you will see that. When the captain of your football team has gone bald and succumbed to that dreaded illness that attacks so many of us, the terrible furniture disease. You know what that is? When his chest has fallen down into his drawers. You've seen it. You've seen it. It evens out, doesn't it? Or you see that homecoming queen that you always envied has been so knocked around by life that you admire her now for her strength and her resilience, things you never noticed in her before. And that geeky guy in your math class has finally grown into his nose, found a razor, got a big boy haircut, and he now owns a software company you pay to use every day. Because things are not always as they seem. We value some people more than others. We exclude some people more than others. I do it. I bet you do it. But I believe one day we are going to wake up and find out that we were wrong. And that every person we meet has worth. And that every person we meet is valued and honored. And I believe that because the more I read the Bible, the more I see it in its pages. Today's story is from Acts chapter 10. It really spills over into the first 18 verses of chapter 11 as well. I am not going to read all that. I hope you go home and do that. Read the full story. What I want to point out today is what I see as the main point. God teaching us that God's love extends to people we never thought to include. Peter was a Jew. He's also a Christian. And he's prepared by God, by this vision or this dream, to go to the home of a Roman soldier, a Gentile, someone Peter saw as unclean, someone way down on the food chain. You know who those people are for you, right? The people below you socially, economically. Those people you'd never be caught dead with. The ones you'd never sit with at lunch. That's who Cornelius was to Peter. But God worked on Peter and prepared him so that when Peter went to Cornelius' house, when he was invited to do so, and when he gets there, listen to what Peter says, verse 28. You are well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with Gentiles or to visit them. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. No one is impure or unclean. What does that say about our food chains? About our social hierarchies? Peter goes on to say, verse 34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts those from every nation who fear him and do what is right. And while Peter is still speaking, while Peter, the Jew, is in the home of this guy he wouldn't sit with at lunch, while Peter is there, God acts. And God pours out his Holy Spirit on Cornelius and his family and everyone gathered there in just the same way that God poured out the Holy Spirit on Peter and all of those gathered on that day of Pentecost. The Gentile day of Pentecost has come. And nobody quite knows what to do about it because God has acted outside the bounds of our beliefs and our hierarchies. Finally, Peter says of Cornelius and his family, verse 47, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, Peter's going to have some serious explaining to do when he finally gets back to Jerusalem. But Peter was there. Peter saw God work. And even Peter isn't going to argue with God this time. God's love reached beyond our social hierarchy and included someone that we left out. God is teaching us that God's love is broader than our own. That's the whole movement of the book of Acts, I think. I think it's the whole movement of the book of the New Testament, the whole New Testament, this ever-increasing circle of God's love. God's love is too big for just those first followers of Jesus. And here in Acts 10, God's love is too big for just the Jews to have. God pushes back the walls of family love until they include our neighbors. God's love pushes those walls back until they include the stranger. God's love pushes those walls back until it concludes even our enemies. And as we read on in Acts in the New Testament, we see God's love pushing us out to the ends of the earth until that great day the prophets saw, when all people are invited to come into God's loving embrace. God loves people we never thought to love. You know where I've seen this acted out best? Intensive care waiting rooms. Some of you have spent a lot of time in intensive care waiting rooms. I've been there with some of you. And in that place, no one cares where you are in the food chain. The only things that matter in a waiting room are questions like, is my husband going to make it? Will my child walk again? How long does mama have? Is she suffering? How do you live without the person who's been your best friend for 30 years? The intensive care waiting room is different from any other place I've ever been, and the people who wait there are different too. They can't do enough for each other. No one is left out. They look out for each other. They share what they have. They pray with each other. They cry with each other. They celebrate with each other. No one hurts alone. No one is rude. The distinctions of class and race melt away. A man is a father first and a foreigner second. The garbage man loves his wife just as much as the lawyer does. And in a waiting room, everyone understands this. In an intensive care waiting room, the world changes to be the way I believe God intended it to be. The world, not as it seems to us, but as it really is, where pride and pretense count for nothing, where there is no food chain or social hierarchy. In an intensive care waiting room, everyone knows that loving someone else is what makes us all the same. And in that waiting room, it's easy to see that God loves them just as much as God loves us. I've been captured the past few weeks by the story of Connie Culp, the woman who received that face transplant. Connie has suffered physically for years. She's been excluded and isolated and ridiculed because of her deforming injury. She says, now I have a nose. Her sense of humor I find refreshing, and she's just a few surgeries away from having a greatly restored face. I watched a press conference where Connie said, don't judge people. When somebody has a disfigurement or doesn't look as pretty as you, don't judge them. You never know what happened to them. You never know what might happen to you. Physical beauty or ability, financial security, mental acuity, emotional health, just having simple social skills. We never know what happened to them. We never know what might happen to us. But we do know this, God's love is always with us, and God's love is always with them. God's love will reach to where you are, wherever you are, wherever you may find yourself. We're going to see a video now that reminds us that God is with us at every twist and turn of our lives. That is true for us. As you watch it, I ask you to remember that it's also true for everyone you will ever meet. God is with us all. Life takes us places we never thought we would go. But in every stage, at every age of our lives, God's love reaches to us. And God's love reaches beyond us to those we'd never think to include. As we grow in God's love and grace, may we remember Cornelius and all the others in the food chain of life. God will reach past us to get to them. But if we allow it, like Peter did, God might just reach through us to get to them. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.